What is up, guys? Wall J here. I'm here with my co-host,
Art of War. We got our man Miguelinho in the house.
What's up, y'all?
We have a longtime friend of mine, Brennan Colbreth.
What up, what up?
And a very special guest, Kyotera.
Hey, guys.
How's it going? How are you enjoying Jacksonville so far?
It's been good. You know, I wish it was a little bit warmer, but...
Kaya said next time he comes, he's going to come during the summer.
Yeah. He came during, the cyclone bomb thing?
Yeah, the winter bomb. Cyclone.
Winter bomb, yeah. Normally it's way, way hotter, like muggy hot. So
yeah,
somewhere in between.
I like that.
You like that?
Yeah. But I'm happy there's no hurricanes right now, so.
Yeah.
So are we.
Sorry, guys. Right. Let me bring myself down.
Get it super excited. But yeah, no, you know, hurricane season is I'm still not recovering from hurricane season. My fence is knocked down. You know, I got to dig a post. Me and Brandon went and got a bunch of panels, so we just now got to go put them on in. But yeah.
I mean, I can't complain too much. Hurricane season's been pretty good for my construction company.
Yeah.
So you're making money.
Yeah. You know, I guess I can thank Mother Nature for a change.
Yeah. I mean, that provided a lot of jobs for sure. As far as training environments, you do prefer the hotter training environment. Is there any specific reason or
who likes the cold?
Yeah, pretty much. Who likes to live in the cold?
That's how I feel about it. For me, it's injury prevention. You know, as I've gotten a little bit older, it definitely helps. Anytime 100%. I got injured, I was cold.
Much easier to train as well because I don't warm up. So
yeah, you just kind of get right into it. More time on the mat specific. Yeah. So speaking of time on the mat, I think I read somewhere that you were able to make black belt in a very short amount of time. How did that experience go for you?
Fun.
It was like 3 years of fast, furious training. I mean, were you like 2-3 days a week or did you end up doing 6 days a week?
Yeah, you kind of get burnt out training so much, you know?
Yeah.
But for sure, there's no way that someone can get promoted in such a short period of time if you're training like a regular person. You know, I probably trained in a week more than most people train in a whole year, you know. So
yeah, average training session for you is like 2-3 hours then at that point
I was training all day. I would wake up and start training. People would knock on my door and I would, you know, wake up and go train, and last thing I would do before showering would be it showering and going to sleep would be training as well. But that led me to a lot of injuries that, you know, I wish I didn't have, because, you know, training too much gives you a lot of issues, you know, such as arthritis and tendonitis, you know.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of it because of too much training. It's not healthy.
When you had these things like tendonitis, that you went to the doctor and there's like throw a shot in it and then keep you going?
No, because I don't like to take any medicine or any supplements, you know. It's not that I'm healthy or anything. I just don't like to put, you know, anything that could be toxic to my body, you know.
Right.
I don't really believe in it, you know. Of course, that sometimes I get sick, I have to take medicine, but... You know, I really try to avoid until the last minute, you know?
Yeah. So, unless it's like an infection or something.
Exactly. No, antibiotics, you need to, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but even, you know, like sometimes I'm injured, I don't take anything, you know, and it keeps bothering me, you know, like after a few months, I go and, you know, take anti-inflammatories. But I try to avoid less resource, you know?
Yeah. I know a lot of people that train in jiu-jitsu, like, especially to the caliber that you do, like, sometimes you're mentally stronger and physically stronger than you probably should be. So you go longer in an uncomfortable situation where an average person
is
like,
very, very true.
I can't handle this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You have to put yourself through so much that, you know, the tolerance for pain and, you know, to reach your limits on anything, you know, it's not just a black belt, but especially the world champions. There's no world champion that is not a competitive person,
yeah.
You know, And it's not like jiu-jitsu competitive, but I mean like competitive on anything, you know. So I guess, you know, that leads to reaching towards your limit. And that can be a good thing sometimes, but can be a very bad thing other times as well.
Did you always feel like you were a competitive person like that? Or was it until you started jiu-jitsu? Because you started at a young age, correct?
No, I didn't start young. It's impossible for me to start young if I got my black belt in 3 years. You must be 19 to get your black belt.
Correct. So you started at 17?
16 to 17.
16
to
17?
Yeah, 17.
I started at 27, so I started way late. I'm 38 now or whatever, so that's 11 years. But
no, but 16, 17 years old is late as well. It's not like to be a professional athlete on anything, you should start training like 5 years old, you know?
Right, yeah, exactly.
So like, Kyle, I was looking at your story. Like, I saw a video you mentioning of your journey to your black belt. So how was it at first? You said your mom signed you up for classes and you just just didn't go with it. So what made you want to go commit to jiu-jitsu afterwards?
I think the challenge, you know, I think by people saying that jiu-jitsu was not for me, you know, made me challenge myself to pursue it, you know. And then, you know, I think that anyone who gives a real chance to jiu-jitsu falls in love for the sport, you know?
Yes.
Absolutely on that one. Yeah, I think all of us in this room can say we love jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
So it kind of started out, you know, as far as your mom's idea, it was more of like a self-defense thing for you, so you can take care of yourself. And then for you, it was like, you know, it became more than that. It became the sport itself that you fell in love with and the training. And I imagine
I had to learn it to defend myself, I was not very into it, you know. Mm-hmm. But they kept on saying that jiu-jitsu wouldn't be for me, that I wouldn't be able to learn it, you know. So at that point, I started trying to learn. And, you know, when you get good at anything, you know, it doesn't matter what you're good at. You know, it could be math. It could be, you know, a science class, whatever you're good at, it becomes fun, you know? Yeah. And if you're good at jiu-jitsu, then it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I also read in some of your profiles that, you know, it's like favorite position or favorite move. And you just kind of had it as a blank all guard. Do you go through phases where you're like, you know what, I really like to work this specific kind of technique or things that lead me to this way, or just naturally just kind of flow from one thing to the next?
I think I really like to play jiu-jitsu, you know. It doesn't matter if it's with the gi, without the gi, if I'm on top, if I'm on bottom, you know. As long as I'm on the mats, I'm having fun. And I don't have like a favorite position, because even if you look at my matches, there's nothing, you know, there's no submission, for example, that I submit someone the most. And I have a very high rate of submissions, you know. I probably submit, you know, at least 80% of my matches, you know, and at least, you know. And it's always with something different, you know. Sometimes with Kimura, sometimes with arm lock, sometimes with naked choke, triangles, and all kinds of foot locks, you know, knee bars and attacks from the back. There's all kinds of shoulder locks, and you know, it's never the same thing, you know. There's not like a specific technique that I like to play the most. It's just what happens,
whatever presents itself is what you're gonna capitalize on at that moment. Is that correct?
Pretty much.
Nice.
So growing up in Rio, who were the guys that you were looking at, you know, when you were coming up, that like, you know, I want to do what those guys are doing?
Motivated you?
Yeah, who were the guys that motivated you?
Definitely my teachers, because at the time there was no internet, you know. So the people that would inspire me would be my teachers, because all the stories that I had was the stories that they would tell me, you know. I wouldn't know the stories of anybody else, because like I said, there was no information out there when I first started.
Do you feel like maybe now it's easier for a person to start jiu-jitsu and learn at a faster rate than previously, just because of all the information that's out there?
Of course. If I started today, I would probably get my black belt in a year.
Now, you actually have an online, like, yeah. Like
Yeah, just right? the fact, like, for example, my online school, you know, I have developed techniques, you know, that took me so many years to be able to perfect them, you know, and I teach in a way that people can, you know, learn in a day and, you know, the next week they're like masters at it, you know, and I never had this type of information, you know, or this type of resource, you know. Not me, I mean, like, everyone that was coming up with me either, you know, during that time, you know, so today is definitely so much easier. And it's not just my online training. There's a lot of other resources out there. There are many other online trainings and DVDs out there from top grapplers that, you know, people can learn, get ideas and get inspired, you know. Back then it's pretty complicated, you know, for me to learn something new, you know, something outside my school. First, it was forbidden to train at other schools at the time. Second, you know, the only way was to go to a tournament and watch the black belts, you know, going at it at the tournaments. But even then, you know, the top black belts wouldn't compete every weekend, you know. Yeah. So sometimes you would get some ideas that weren't like the best.
So how do you feel about that nowadays, about, you know, people cross-training and going to other schools? Do you recommend your students go elsewhere and train with other people, or is that still not something you like to do?
If you are a client at Starbucks, you know, you can drink coffee anywhere you want. You know, you're paying for a service. So right. If my students want to train anywhere else, they're more than welcome to. I would never say anything about it. You know, I wouldn't say, hey, why did you go train there? You know?
Yeah.
I actually don't care at all about it. But at the same time, I wouldn't encourage them to train somewhere else than my school, unless they're training with a friend. Because to me, it wouldn't make any sense to go train somewhere else if they pretty much, you know, got the best training in the city, you know. Now, if they are training somewhere else, you know, like, let's say they're 40 minutes away and there's no way for them to get back to training, I definitely encourage them to always train at another gym, you know. And some of my students too, always, you know, a lot of the times they move away, you know, and they still want to keep on being a part of the academy, you know. So right. they keep paying the gym and come in once a week, you know. I always recommend them to cancel their contract and, you know, sign up at a gym near them, because I prefer them to train every day, you know, like, you know, train as much as they can while their body allows them, then, you know, come in once a week, you know, because, you know, it's not the distance that it's going to change, you know. They can still drop in once in a while, you know. They're still going to be a part of, you know, of what we're trying to build, you know. It's not that they're training at another gym that they stop being my student or my friends, you know.
Do you get a lot of people that seek you out to train with you, like from other schools? You know, they hit you up and say, hey, we're in town, can we come?
People from my city don't usually visit my academy, but we definitely have a lot of drop-ins from other schools. You know, we probably have 100 different students every month, you know.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of new people every day.
You know, all sorts of different skill sets. So you kind of have to, like, are they allowed to go any of the classes? Let's say, like, you know, they're, you know, purple belt, one school maybe has like a different type of skill set than maybe what your normal advanced guys would be like in it.
Yeah, but it's, you know, like the thing is that our school is, you know, is a little bit competitive. Mm-hmm. So usually the level of our guys is much higher than most of the schools. You know, especially because we only promote people when they're truly ready. You know, we don't promote on time or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, I believe on true promotions. You know, I believe that my students, you know, any of my students, doesn't matter how old they are, if they go visit a gym, you know, any gym, they should be able to hold themselves, you know.
Yeah.
It's not just for me, but I wouldn't want them to embarrass themselves and feel, you know, because a lot of the times, one of the things that people say the most is when they visit my gym is that, oh man, I'm ashamed, you know, maybe I shouldn't be wearing that belt, which is not really true because, you know, every gym has their own standards, you know. And, you know, you can't, you know, like if you started in a small town, obviously, the level wouldn't be as high, you know, and there's nothing you can do about it, you know, because jiu-jitsu hasn't grown, you know, in that town yet. But, you know, at my school, we try to hold the standard high because, you know, one of the things that people, you know, the people seek for is, you know, it's to get their jiu-jitsu better, you know, and it's something that we try to praise at the school, you know. But
I know there's always that kind of like argument. I don't even know if it's really argument, but more of that discussion of like time based versus testing versus competition versus, you know, whatever that instructor feels. I think competition probably most definitely would expedite that, the belting, as far as like ranking goes, you know, especially if you're doing really well. It's kind of hard to hold somebody back if they're a blue belt and they're crushing a bunch of purple belts, and then you put them there and then they're beating browns. So you kind of have to feel like you promote them.
That can't be, you can't judge by that. I don't judge by competition. Actually, if you're competing, it should be harder for you to get promoted, you know?
Yeah.
It should be easier. At the same time, it will be harder because you're competing, you're probably evolving way faster than others, you know, because one, you're training more than others, because in order to succeed in competition, you have to train more than others, you know. Two, you know, competing, you can see your mistakes more clear, you know, and so, you know, you're getting better faster, but at the same time, you know, the level of expectation for you is higher, you know, so... If you're competing, you should be beating students that are just regular students that train, you know, twice a week, you know?
Right.
Yeah, like you said, sometimes it's hard to hold people in their belts, but sometimes, you know, in a year, someone evolves, you know, like almost like two belts, you know, and there's no way that they can progress two belts in 1 year, you know? So, you know, you will see some purple belts that will have the level of, you know, of a black belt, you know, like we had, for example, last year, the brown belt, weight and absolute adult brown belt, weight and absolute Pan American and world champion was from my academy, Hudson Mateus, right? And he was a brown belt. But, you know, if there was any black belt that would drop by, he would submit him over 10 times.
Oh, wow.
Over 10 times.
Just smoking them in that round, huh?
It's not even like, you know, it's not even like fair, because the guy is just like, he has a very good chance of winning worlds this year as a black belt. But last year he was a brown.
Yeah.
You know, in the year before when he won as a purple, he was already a top level black belt, you know? So. Yeah. So sometimes, you know, you'll catch that, but there's no way that you can progress from purple to black in 2 months. You know, you have to go through the belt and you have to get the experience.
Right.
You know, so that's not just in my gym. I mean, that's in general. There's a lot of gyms, you know, doesn't matter how big or small your gym is. You know, there will always be that guy that comes from nowhere and it's just, you know, a freak talented, you know. But, you know, there's nothing you can do. You can't you can't promote someone that fast, you know. I got promoted in 3 years, but when I got promoted, it was that same year that they made the rule of being of belt promotion, you know, because back when I got promoted, there was no rules about you have to be a white belt for a year, you have to be a blue belt for 2 years. You know, you have to be a purple belt for a year and a half. There was no rule. There was no rules like that. You know, there was no rules that you had to be 19 to be promoted to black belt. You know, the Graces were promoted at 16, 17, you know?
Yeah.
Back in the days, you know? But when I got promoted, they were like, oh, man, we can't let people do this because it's it's just ridiculous.
Was there a little controversy once you reached your black belt that kind of early?
It was very controversial. They didn't allow me to compete at the Brazilian Nationals that year.
Oh, wow.
IBJJF. Because as soon as I got promoted, they created the rule. They were like, we can't allow this to happen, you know? And then there was a big argument. They ended up allowing me to compete, you know? And I proved them wrong. I won the world.
I did read that, too. That's pretty cool. Yeah, there was definitely some controversy.
What better way to prove somebody wrong than to beat them, huh?
Well, I mean, there's so many phenoms out there now that are just going out there and crushing it at, you know, they're like, you know, purple belts, you know, beating black belts and on the regular. I'm like, ooh,
yeah,
that's crazy. I wish I could have started. My only regret is not being able to start earlier. But when it was earlier, it was here in America still, and the Brazilian jiu-jitsu really wasn't.
Well, I was in Puerto Rico. Yeah. I didn't know about jiu-jitsu until I got here to the States in 93. And I saw the first UFC just like everybody else. And I'm like, who is this guy beating everybody? You know, and beating them with jiu-jitsu. And I'm like, wait a minute. It seems like that's the martial art you need to take.
Yeah. So you have an association. You have thousands of students, I imagine, right, throughout the whole association. Is it hard for you to keep a track of who is who? I mean, like, how do you have a system in that as far as?
The way that we do our association is that when I created my association, I never wanted to be the biggest association out there. You know, yeah. I wanted to be more than just an association, you know? Like, for example, Gracie Barra probably has like thousands of affiliates, you know? Yeah, But I'm pretty sure that Carlinhos doesn't know, you know, maybe 95% of the black belts, you know? Not just I know every single black belt from our association. They also have my phone number, you know. They have my contact and we keep in touch. You know, when I first created our association, there was 22 inquiries to affiliate. We only approved one and we held one more. Held one of them to announce the month after, you know, because I normally only announce one affiliate every month. I don't take more than that because that wouldn't allow me to get to know them better, you know. So I make sure that I know every affiliate, you know, because if I don't really know them, it's not really like they're using.
To feel disingenuous, correct?
Yes, yes.
And I've seen that kind of like time and time again too, where people are like, "Well, I'm under this person." I'm like, "Well, how often have you trained with that person?" They're like, "Oh,
never
really."
It's not. It's not even being about training, you know. But I think it's more like, you know, affiliation. There's not really any money on it, you know. It's. Yeah. I did it to be able to spread my jiu-jitsu and my philosophy, you know, and if I just accept every single person, there's no quality control, you know. I have to make sure that I keep on making sure that, you know, like someone go train at a CTA academy, you know, that they will have as much fun as they would if they came to my own gym, And I want them to also have the same thing, you know, like where, you know, someone, you know, from CTA in Colorado is moving to Arizona and they're, you know, going to train at a CTA academy there or they're visiting.
Yeah.
I want them to experience the same atmosphere, you know, the same type of level, you know, and the same philosophy that we try to preach in every all our gyms because... Us instructors, we have a very big role, you know, because we're not just spreading jiu-jitsu, you know, a lot of people are looking up to us, you know, and it's something that I always say, you know, it's very easy to build someone's jiu-jitsu, you know, but You know, jiu-jitsu is hard, but, you know, anyone can learn. You know, you might not be a world champion, but you can be okay, you know? And that's what matters. You know, if you're okay, you're going to have a lot of fun. But building someone's personality is a lot harder, you know? And us as instructors and as role models, we have that, you know, that kind of power, you know, to sometimes, you know, change people's lives, you know, like make them better, you know, or worse, you know. So
so you don't want to be building any bullies, you know what I mean, having them going out and
well, bullies, I'm sure that the people that we would take wouldn't build any bullies. We make sure that we only take the right people, you know. We actually didn't deny more people than we actually accept into the association, you know. Not some people are actually very good. We just can't accept everybody. We have to really have the quality control, you know. But, you know, we try to make sure that everyone is in the same page, you know.
Yeah.
Like, even when, so nowadays, when we, when someone tries to affiliate, you know, it's not just me that decide, you know. They go into the person who is affiliating has to talk to every single affiliate. And
awesome.
And after everyone voting yes or no, then we can approve or deny. Because, you know, we want everybody like-minded people, you know. We don't want people thinking different than us, you know. And it's not just for us, but for them too, you know. I think that if you are with a group of people that you're comfortable with the same ideas, you know, you're much happier working, you know, because jiu-jitsu is a very hard sport to survive. You know, you have to be working pretty much 24 hours a day. You know, you wake up and you have to think about your academy, and you go to sleep thinking about your bills, you know. So you really have to be motivated every day. And the group that we have right now, it's amazing. You know, everybody's always pushing each other and, you know, making each other better, you know.
So first foremost is the chemistry between all your instructors is in sync with what you guys' ideas are. So that's amazing.
So question for you, Kyle. Being from what you just said, would you say that in a lot of ways, it seems like jiu-jitsu has gotten a little thin as far as what the meaning of it is and how people look at it? Obviously, some of the larger organizations that don't know their students, would you say that's more for money? The affiliation, like, for example, Gracie Baja, yeah, they have thousands and thousands of affiliates throughout the United States.
Yeah, so I can't judge Gracie Baja or Alliance or Checkmate or whatever association it is. I'm just throwing names out there because I actually don't know their system. You know, Carlinhos actually might know, you know, every single black belt. I don't know for a fact. I'm just guessing, you know?
Yeah. But it does seem.
I don't know why they do it. I know why I do it, you know?
Right. It does seem like it. When jiu-jitsu first came out, it wasn't as mainstream as it is now. I mean, now you can't watch a UFC and it not be something about jiu-jitsu. You can't go to any kind of event and there's not a million people there.
When jiu-jitsu, no, but that's a very good thing. You know, that's a very good thing.
Right. I agree.
That what I'm trying to say is that, like, some of these associations, don't matter why they do it, but they are like McDonald's, you know. They have
like a McDojo style feel, right?
No, not McDojo. I'm not talking about McDojo, but more like McDonald's in the aspect that they have one in every corner. You know?
Yeah.
They, if you pay the franchise, you can open a school, you know?
Yeah.
They give you the material, which is a lot of the times is very good. You know what they give, the information and everything. They're pretty much selling a business, you know, a business plan. They sell a business plan. I am not into selling a business plan, you know. We offer the same things, but I am what I'm really pushing out there is to sell our system.
Yeah.
You know, we really want to work with people, you know, because I really work with them, you know, and I really want to work with people that you know, have the same ideas, you know, the same thinking that not just me, but the other people from our affiliation, you know, association has as well.
Outstanding.
Who was your first affiliation outside of San Jose, obviously?
Our first affiliation, it was England and our first one was Oregon, I believe, you know?
Right.
Because that was a long time ago.
Right.
You said you have an affiliation in England?
Actually, the problem with England is that they actually had to close down the academy, you know, a few years back. No, the academy was doing fine, but I think there was some problems, mm-hmm. you know. They have a lot of, bureaucracy.
Oh, yeah, the politics behind.
Yeah. And, you know, to hold a business in some of the areas is not very easy, you know. So what ended up happening is that the instructor closed down and was going to reopen 2 months after. Mm-hmm. But when it was time to reopen, all the students were training at another gym, so it was too late, you know.
Yeah, that happens for sure. I would say that's kind of cool because that means you get to go to visit all your different academies. So it's like an excuse to go to England or whatever.
Yeah, but the thing is that I'm so busy, you know. And it's not that I'm just doing the association, you know. I wish I had more time, but the truth is that, you know, when I travel, it's not as fun as people think it is. You know, I'm in and out. You know, there's no chance for me to hang out. Otherwise, I don't get to see my family.
I know, and I'm amazed that you actually even had time enough to jump on a podcast real quick. So I know you came in late last night, probably like got very minimal sleep, put on an amazing seminar. You said you were tired, man. I don't know. You seem like
he said he was jet lag. You had to sleep.
Half asleep, but
I will tell you one thing.
Energy was good.
He's a trooper on this because he's like, I need to stay up until after dinner. So that when I go to sleep tonight, I sleep soundly.
Yeah. So I think it's a really important coaching thing that you come in at a specific level. I always say from the level 1 through 10 that a 6 to 7 is the perfect level for a coach to be at, because anything less than that, you might be dragging your people down. Anything more than that, you might be just too much. Do you kind of feel the same way as far as keeping the consistent, as far as your energy level and what you bring to your class?
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to measure though, you know, because the problem with the class is that each individual is different, you know, and even how they learn, you know, some people only learn listening, some people only learn when you touch them, and some people only learn visually, mm-hmm. you know, some people you need to yell at them, you know,
Kevin.
And some people you need to be very, very calm.
Yeah.
You know, and the biggest gift an instructor can have is the gift of realizing how each individual learn. Because mm-hmm. it doesn't matter if you're the best teacher in the world, you know, if you don't realize how each person get the information, mm-hmm. you'll be repeating the same information, even though it could be the best information, you might be repeating over and over and they will not assimilate, you know?
Yeah.
I thought that was something interesting that he did with the seminar today, how he separated it and he said, okay, everybody's looking to learn back takes. I want you to come over here. And then anybody who wants to do 50-50, come over here.
I wanted to do the 50-50, man. I wanted to see some of the, you know, playing a lot more leg entanglement. So I thought that was going to be cool. Maybe tomorrow.
But no, I like the way that, because the majority of everybody there wanted to learn the back takes.
Yeah.
But not one person was like, oh, I really wanted to do the 50-50 and wasn't receptive to what he was teaching because it was like, huh, I've never seen that back take before. That's really awesome. Because, I mean, I was working with Art today and I've been doing jiu-jitsu for quite a long time and I learned stuff today that blew my mind that I've never seen before. And I was like, wow, this is awesome.
Yeah, I like the way that she held the retention.
I think that's one of the things that jiu-jitsu sets apart of every, not every other martial art, but every sport. Jiu-jitsu never stop evolving. You know, there's not a black belt out there. There's not a single person that knows everything. Right. You know, and even if they, let's say, they know everything right now that there is out there,
they won't next week.
Next week they won't, exactly. So jiu-jitsu is so amazing, you know, and people don't understand how hard it is to stay on top, you know, because a lot of the times, you know, one of the things that I find it funny, sometimes I ask students, for example, like, okay, so I'll promote you, you know, I make a joke, I'll promote you, but you have to beat me in a 5-minute match.
Nobody gets promoted.
No, and then I say, do you think you can make it happen? And they always say anything can happen, but truthfully is that it cannot happen. You know, not about me, but I mean like any person in such a level of any kind of sport is, you know, it's the same thing as you want to beat, you know, like Michael Jordan in a basketball match. You know. Yeah. I'm not saying that I'm Michael Jordan, but I'm saying like a lot of the guys in our level, you know, I have lost to like one guy, you know, in what, 15 years, you know, not just me, but like Buchecha and, you know, Malfacini and, Rafael Mendes. There's a lot of guys out there that, you know, there's no chance that a regular person will just beat them. But what they don't understand is that how hard is it to be that guy, you know? They don't understand that there's always someone else hungrier than you, you know, coming up every single year. You know, every year there's a different brown belt that is a world champion and that wants your place, you know, and to be able to stay on top, you have to keep on updating yourself. And how hard it is to keep on trying to evolve every day when, you know, you're the teacher, but you also have to be the student,
yeah.
You know? But I think that people really don't realize all the sacrifice that some of the guys do. Not sacrificing for others, but pretty much for themselves, you know? Because I don't think there's any student that would quit my gym if I wasn't a world champion, you know?
Yeah.
And I also don't think that any other person would join my gym if I won another worlds, you know. But so what I'm, you know, trying to say is that, you know, if we're sacrificing anything, it's pretty much for us, you know. But at the same time, people don't realize how hard it is to actually be that person, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I guess I can. What you're saying is sometimes being the one on top and always being looked at is difficult, because eventually what happens when you come off of being on top?
Waiting for you to fall.
They're looking for your downgrade and they're looking mm-hmm. for your destruction.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they're wanting you to fail almost.
So right now you're at, is it 11 or 12 world champions? Maybe world
12.
12? Yeah, I knew that website was wrong at 11.
So yeah, 12. They haven't updated the website.
And you kind of like are taking a step back from that for now. Is that for a little bit? Is that correct?
Yeah, I you know, it's very hard for me to compete nowadays because I have so many students to coach, you know, and then at the end of the day, I have to go there and do my thing as well.
Yeah.
I'm burnt out, you know, it's
well,
it's
you have no nothing fun left to prove, I don't think.
Yeah, you know? I don't think at that point I had anything to prove.
Yeah.
It was more like, you know what? I'm training. A lot of the times I'm like, you know, I'm definitely not going to compete. Mm-hmm. I'm 100% not competing. Then I start training the team, you know, and I'm training with them. And I'm like, dude, you don't train enough, man. You have to train like this. And then you train hard,
yeah.
You know, to show them how they have to do it. And then you're more in shape than everybody. And then you're like, why am I not going to do this? You
know? He's like 12 times later. That's amazing. That's awesome.
So next year we'll see him at 13. When he's training the team.
There's no way.
I thought maybe that you'd be moving on to maybe like a different type of venue, maybe like a EBI style tournament or something to that nature.
No, there's no. I don't. I have never competed for money, yeah. You know. And if I had to compete, it would not be at EBI. You know, not saying that I don't have anything against EBI. Yeah. Absolutely not. I actually like. One, the fact that they have heel hooks, you know, because I love playing with heel hooks. But EBI is not as prestigious as other tournaments, you know. And it's not as, you know, of course, there's no easy tournaments. But
yeah,
there it's the challenge at EBI is not the same as at IBJJF, you know. So if I had to challenge myself, I would compete at IBJJF.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if, like, maybe because you, like, the sub, you know, you're not the type of person that goes out and like, I'm just going to point this out and get the W and then move on. Right. So mm-hmm. That's what I was kind of thinking in my head. I was like, well, maybe he might be doing something that's really is, you know, the sub clear winner sub, as far as, you know, there's no points or something like that. I saw a couple of pictures of you working with Denny Prokopos. Which I got to work with him quite a bit too. He's an awesome guy.
Yeah, like awesome.
So when I saw you two together in the picture, I was like, "Oh, that's so cool!" You know, and I've never met you.
Oh yeah, but me and Danny, we train we train every week. You know, it's funny because actually the way that we met, it was not the most conventional way. I think in 2008, you know, I was refereeing a tournament, mm-hmm. and Danny was in the final against Joel Tudor.
Uh-huh.
He was a brown belt at the time, and they were pretty much not doing anything. You know, they were standing up for like 5 minutes, and I kept on penalizing them because they were not fighting.
Yeah.
And by the last penalty, I said, "Guys, seriously, I don't like to say anything because I'm not allowed, but you guys are not doing anything. I'm seriously going to disqualify you guys in the next 20 seconds. Oh, you're
refing both of those guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, and then at when I said that, 10 seconds later, Danny shot a double leg and put Joe Tudor down. And then he won, and that's how he won. And then we started talking, and he lives very close to me, you yeah. know. So, I mean, not that close,
actually. In San Francisco, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, like 45 minutes away.
Yeah.
At the time, though, I was not living in San Jose. So, you know, it was like an hour and a half. And then he would commit to come every day to train with me.
Wow.
You know, and it was fun times. I after that, I also never reffed anymore, so I didn't have problems with him.
That's pretty cool. Well, you know, Kyle, I know you have some obligations to get to. Is there anything that you would like to say to anybody? Something else, that whatever's on your mind or anything?
My mind is pretty blank right now. I'm pretty jet lagged, but, you know, I want to thank everyone that's listening, and apologize if I said anything wrong. I'm truly really tired. You know, I didn't sleep not even a single minute last night, you know. You know, the seminar was pretty early today. I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, I wasn't either. I woke up late. It's too early.
Let's complain with Brandon.
Yeah, what the heck, Brandon?
Yeah. Yeah. Probably should have looked at the plane flight a little better. Maybe put it about 1 o'clock. Yeah.
But no, it was good. It's just that, you know, right now it's been, you know, over 24 hours awake. So, you know, I'm pretty much crashing right now. But if I said something wrong, I wanted to apologize. You know, I normally, you know, I'm pretty much saying everything I'm thinking, you know, so that's not a good thing.
Talk episode that we've had in probably a long time.
So. The cleanest ever.
No, it was really clean. We had Richie Martinez Boogie, you know, on as well. And, you know, that was a real clean one or whatever. You know, this podcast is about jiu-jitsu, MMA, current topics, you know, and we're pretty free with the way that we talk. You know, anything that you said is just, you know, you sounded perfect. I don't think there's anything controversial out of any of that stuff.
Yeah, we're not going to get any hate over it. Yeah, that's for sure.
No hate over anything like that. So
I would like to say thank you very much to Kyle for making the trip out here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Coming to a gym that he's never been to before. meeting with me. You know, he doesn't know this area for anything, and yeah. he took the chance to come out here, teach us some amazing techniques, and really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
No, Kyle. For sure. I'm the one that appreciates. You're an awesome guy. You know, I'm truly happy to have met you. You know, if there's anything that jiu-jitsu has brought me so much happiness is the people and friends that I have met through jiu-jitsu. You know, there's no gold medal that I always say that there's no gold medal, you know, that is so rewarding as the friends that I have made through the mats, you know. So, you know, and I'm really thankful to meet you. You're an awesome guy.
Thanks, Kyle. I really appreciate that, man. Like I said, I've told you a couple of times that Art knows I talk about you quite often. I'm always pulling up videos and stuff like that. And I've looked at your game and just as the person that you present yourself as. And that's the kind of person that I want my 8-year-old son to look up to. You met him today. He's already a huge fan. So that's the kind of person I want to see him emulate himself after.
Thank you.
Yeah, my favorite video is actually when you described you getting yourself the black belt. I thought that was cool. I was like, oh, he's going to make me cry, man, you son of a gun. Yeah. Yeah, I gotta go get some tissues. I'm feeling for you. So, very cool. Anybody, or any, you want to see your website or anything that you want to promote?
Yeah, if you guys want to check out my online training, it's caioterra.com, caioterra.com. We have a technique video all day, a new technique video. You know, we have a forum and, you know, we're updating this site now to make a lot better, you know, so, you know.
And make sure that they put the URA 12 time. Oh, 12 yeah. time
I'm champion. I'm going to complain that when.
Yeah, we'll give him a call and tell him about that today.
Outstanding.
Any sponsors you want to shout out?
Actually, if it wasn't for War Tribe, it would be very hard for me to keep on competing, you know. They truly pushed me, you know, with the best gear out there. So, you know, and of course, my CTA family, you know. You know, I do it for my family. I do it for my team. And, you know, I'm really lucky to have such a group of people that support me no matter, you know, no matter where I'm at, you know.
Outstanding.
Very cool. Before we go, Art, why don't you give a shout out to our official sponsor?
Lean Impact Nutrition for your nutritional needs, macro coaching. Zach Elkins is the man. You can hit him up on Facebook or Instagram, website to be coming shortly. He's the only way to keep this guy who's almost 40, you know, thin. So if not, I'd be eating cake every day. BlackHiveTattoo.com. Thank you for all the support that you've given me over the last year. If you want the dopest tattoos in Jacksonville, Black Hive 6 months at a time. So when they have an opening, that's how you get in there.
Brandon, shout out. Anything you want to plug in?
Yeah, I'd like to throw a shout out to you guys for showing up, especially Wallo, you showing up, getting some action shots of the seminar. Art coming in and putting a gi on. And yes, I said he put a gi on, guys.
It's true. They got pictures of it.
Yeah, we got some stuff to use against them in the future. So
I had this brown belt for a year. I do mostly no gi, and I get to put it on. It was still so new. It was sliding back open.
It looked like a mustache. Yeah, it looked huge. Anyways. So obviously, I'd like to thank Caioterra. So, you know, if you guys want to learn some amazing jiu-jitsu, his website up, caioterra.com.
Miguelinho.
Oh, well, yeah. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Kyle, for coming out. Thank you to Zach from Lean Impact. Great stuff. Shout-outs to my sponsor, who's overseas right now.
Talking about his wife, Sherry. Anything you want to add? Not good. Sherry's good. Roja. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. And impromptu podcast. We were not supposed to do one this week because Chris was out of town, but we did one for you guys.
It's your Three Kings Day gift.
That's right. It is Three Kings Day. Anyway, we'll catch you next week. Peace.
Peace.